It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
All right. So are you just going to do a William impression the whole time?
Like, I even know how.
I don't think anybody does.
I'd just be like, that doesn't... But why? That doesn't make sense. All the time. Is he going to be offended now?
William's never offended.
Oh, that's true. Wait, so do cats chew on this?
Yeah. She's talking about the microphone head.
It has little...
Mostly Ezzy, I think.
Divots in it. Why?
I don't... Because she has a thing about William. And she gets all up on him, and then sometimes... And also, sometimes they'll mess with it when the podcast's not happening.
So, wait, she chews on the microphone while you're recording?
No, I don't think she usually does that, okay. But she'll, like, rub up on it at other times and things.
All right. I just assumed it was a little guy, because, you know...
No, I think he does off-air sometimes. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that was discovered in some prehistoric ice, thawed out, taught English, and became a lawyer.
Did you put your finger in his ear?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm Tony.
And I'm not William.
It's Trish, people. It's the producer. See, by the way, for those of you playing at home, that was a Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer joke at the beginning. Anyway, also, you're supposed to say what episode this is.
Episode Infinity Plus Too Many.
I think it's 412.
Huh.
I don't actually know.
I feel like mine's accurate.
William, we miss you. You're the only one who knew what number it was.
I have to do a bad job, because otherwise William will just be like, oh, Trish should always be on the podcast.
Yes, but there is one flaw with your plan.
I don't want to be on the podcast all the time.
Yeah, there was one flaw with your plan.
Only one?
Yes.
Okay. Lay it on me.
William will not ever, no matter what you do, he will not think you did a bad job.
Oh my God, is William your mother?
A little bit. But it's a combination of William always sees the best in everyone and also always sees the worst in himself. So no matter what you do, he'll think it's good. And no matter what you do, he'll think it's better than what he does.
Well, and William thinks his parents were good. So that's also different than your mother.
Wow. All right, then.
Sorry. Just airing your familial dirty laundry.
Yeah. So this is fun. Anyway... everyone in the Midwest has been encased in ice, and now we're being encased in snow. Actually, sorry, while we were in Disney, they were encased in snow, and then it all froze into ice, and now it's warming up and snowing again. So, William was unable to make it, he didn't want to die in a icy yet fiery crash on the way here, so...
Also, fuck y'all, next time we're staying in Florida.
Also, fuck y'all, next time we're staying in Florida. So, Trish is here to cover for
I live
him.
Here.
Because she lives here. So, you know, she was going to be here anyway. It's either her or Ezzy. And we can't get her to sit in one spot for an hour, so.
So, before the podcast, Tony told me to stop talking. Because we started doing
some
a
quality,
bit.
Quality stuff.
Yeah, and he's like, stop talking. So see, normally only Tony would get to hear this and it would be free to him. Well, I guess it's free on the podcast too, huh?
A little bit.
I don't know what my point was. All right, what's the next part?
She's saying you're getting some inside stuff.
That normally is only available to my husband.
We're both very tired and shell-shocked. I apologize.
It's really cold, people.
It is really cold, and now it is getting really snowy, and...
So Tuesday night, we came home because work was canceled Wednesday.
Work was cold enough that work, amongst many other things, in this town were shut down for Wednesday.
And so we came home Tuesday night, and I had a list of all the things that we should do to prepare the house for the bitter cold.
Which, just so you're wondering, I believe the actual, not the wind chill, the actual temperature got down to around negative 30.
Yeah.
Wednesday night, I think. I know this morning, when I had to go out to the car, it was negative 25 before the wind chill.
So I was raised by a woman who was raised by people who still remembered the Depression. And so...
How long can that play out?
I don't know.
Like, are the Cheney children going to be like, I was raised by a woman who was raised by a woman
who
was raised
by a woman? Well, no, because have you been in their house? Their house is hot.
Yes.
So anyway, our house is typically fairly cold. Like, it's comfortable, but only just.
We have it programmed to 68 during the waking hours that we're here and 62 at night and when we're at work.
And it's a cold 68. Like, I know other people that have their thermostats set at 68.
Our house is not very thermodynamically efficient.
Right. So anyway, we came home Tuesday, and, like, I put something to block the draft under the front door, and I closed the drapes so the kitties couldn't see out. No, so the cold air wouldn't waft in, and then... We turned the furnace up and turned off the programming so that it would stay.
Yes.
So that it wouldn't lose heat.
All the time.
Right.
It's still like that. And we're not sorry.
Yeah. And honestly, I think it was warmer in our house Wednesday than it is normally. I feel like it was more comfortable.
A little bit.
Except then this morning, Tony says to me, I'm going to go out and start the car, hopefully. And I'm like, don't break the seal. Because, like, we hadn't left the house.
We did not leave the house. And because the curtains were closed, we couldn't even see. Like, the outside could have just been apocalypse.
Right?
We have no idea.
Like, is it Jumanji or whatever? And they open the door and, like, it's just they're in a different place. Or
I don't know if it's Jumanji.
And it's like that in Wizard of Oz, too.
It's true. Yeah.
I mean, she knew she was in a tornado.
When we went outside, everything was in black and white.
It is kind of, actually. It's very gray today.
So it's been really cold. And then we went to work, and that was kind of crazy because most of the people still weren't there because it was really cold for most of the day. So we're a mess. For those of you just joining us, you picked a really weird episode to start on. Here's how this works. We have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address. themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Folks like yourselves, yes, you, specifically you, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with little notes, comments, topics, questions, things like that. The hat magically, on its own, transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest physically within the hat itself. By which I mean usually me and William, but today it's me and Trish, draw the note cards out of the hat randomly, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour, that's the whole show, except the parts that aren't that, which is most of it.
So, two things. One, I think we've already ruined this, but it would be funny if part of the shtick was that only you and William could get questions from the hat, so when I was on, I didn't. But, I mean...
We were in that at episode 100. Other people pulled
things out of the hat. What were we thinking?
And we have never contradicted our mythology on this show. No, we have never, ever contradicted the history of the show or the mythology. I'm trying to think of how many different intros I've had where I explain the origin of the hat, and they were all drastically different.
Okay, other thing. You know Alice's restaurant?
I am somewhat familiar, yes.
There's a part where he talks about they have, I think, 9x11 glossy photographs with circles on arrows on the back of each one.
I don't remember this.
Okay, well, it's a thing. He says with circles and arrows on the... Something about when you're describing how the podcasts work always makes me think you should put circles and arrows, like, as a thing in there.
Huh.
I don't know. Something about it.
My pattern and rhythm must be similar to that part
of
the song.
To Arlo Guthrie's.
Is that who it is? See, I don't think I have heard the song since I was 6.
Sometimes I sing you the chorus.
Sometimes you sing me the chorus, and my parents would occasionally sing, it's my parents, so like 2 lines of it over and over again. And you occasionally get into the Mother Rapers and the Father Rapers. But that's about it. So my memory of the song is very light.
And I said, littering, and they all moved away. And I said, and creating a nuisance, and they all moved back. Hatters, if you haven't heard it, you should set aside an hour and go listen to Alice's Restaurant. If you have heard it, you should set aside an hour and go listen to Alice's Restaurant.
Yeah, go ahead, do that. I'm not going to, but go ahead.
Oh, that's what we should do for date night. I'll make you listen to Alice's Restaurant.
I knew you were going
to
say that.
You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant.
Except for Alice. And they really made a TV show based on that?
I have no idea. I mean, it would be a bad idea.
Alice was a TV show, though, about a restaurant.
Oh, you think... No, that's not... I don't...
They're unrelated?
Pretty sure.
That's weird. That's very weird. Huh. All right. Supper's smelling good. We should finish this up. Oh, crap. We still got a lot left.
Thanks, people. It was great.
Have a good... No. All right. Well, the main useful thing for us to talk about here, I don't think we should get to that yet.
Useful thing?
You
want to talk about Maniac?
A little bit, yeah. I want to talk about Maniac. All
right.
So, we've mentioned a little bit on the show before because William and his wife watched it. Trish randomly watched an episode and was shocked that a TV show with Jonah Hill in it could be so un-Jonah Hill-like. And so she had me watch it while we were at Disney World. And I watched the first episode. And I was like, yeah, I'm on board. And so then since we got back, we just plowed through the entire rest of it.
Right, because there's 10 episodes.
10 episodes.
And you said today they're not...
None of them are an hour, I don't think.
Yeah.
And some of them are as short as like 37 minutes. And I think we both liked it.
I think so. I don't think it was quite what I expected.
Well, it's hard to expect that. It's a very bizarre show, kind of genre bendy. I mean, at its base, I think you call it sci-fi, but it's kind of a sci-fi comedy. And, yeah, it's very strange.
And you keep wanting to make it like Legion.
I keep comparing it in my brain to Legion, which is a problem because it's not as good as Legion. But one could argue it's more entertaining than Legion.
Also, it didn't make me quit it because it was so fucking incomprehensible.
That's the thing, is it's not nearly as disconcertingly granular as Legion. But it feels in the same area as that guy, Noah Hawley or whatever. The guy who did Legion, the guy who did Fargo.
Well, I think the similarity to me is that you're not... So I told you at lunch that I think of it as being more like Sense8, because it is a little more woo and whatever. But I think the thing that Legion and Maniac have in common is that it's not always clear to you as the viewer if something is really happening or not.
Yes, and there's
and
a
Sense8,
lot of...
And Sense8, I think everything is really happening.
For the most part, yeah. There's both of them are very heavy on their symbol and metaphor.
Yeah.
To an almost literal degree, or to an actual literal degree in some cases, it didn't feel as tight as Legion or as Fargo, but I think that's okay, and it's easier to just sort of watch it and enjoy it, and it is funny and entertaining.
Yeah, I think my big frustration with it, though, was that, like, I feel like it was dense enough that I had to pay attention.
I would agree.
Like, it was hard for me to kind of, like, play weird idle games on my
tablet. I would absolutely agree with that.
And whatever. Yeah. And I don't think it had enough payoff. Like, the payoff wasn't worth the attention, I guess?
I could see that. I kind of thought it was... Because I loved the visuals and I loved the performances. And so it was just fun to watch.
So, yeah, Jonah Hill actually doing something different.
Yeah, Jonah Hill
doing
his job.
Which is probably unfair to him. Not like I've ever seen every movie he's done or anything.
Yeah, well, and he's tried his hand at drama a couple times now. But, I mean, yeah, if you hear Jonah Hill and kind of roll your eyes, that's where we were. And he was really good in this. And not, like, for being really funny.
Yeah.
Like, this is... I say it's kind of a comedy, and it is, but it's a very dry comedy with a ton of drama, and his is a very, it's like, serious character.
His is a straight person.
And arguably the main character. He and Emma Stone are basically the main characters. Emma Stone, marvelous job, superfluous, but I don't see her give bad performances. I almost feel like it can be taken as read. She did an amazing job.
And a lot of really good use of, like, there were a lot of people that we recognized but weren't sure how we knew them.
Yes, yes.
That then when we looked them up, you know, they've had fairly extended careers and whatever.
And Justin Theroux's in it. There's another big name in it. I kind of almost feel like it's a spoiler to mention that person, so I won't do it.
Which is it? One that showed up very briefly?
No, it's okay. One that showed up like midway through.
Yeah. I wondered if we shouldn't talk about that
but
one.
But Gabriel Byrne is in it in a pretty small role, but comes up occasionally.
I guess I don't know. I never know who people
he
are.
He was Jonah Hill's dad.
Oh, okay. Well, and see, I'm going to say this one. And then, like, Hank Azaria for, like, reason.
Which is just an observation. Like, that's not a reason to watch it or not watch it. Right. Hank Azaria doing a fine job in a part I could play. I mean... that lasts for all of 2 minutes. Right. Like, it's not... He was somebody... Like, he just showed up one day to do this, which is fine. I mean, and he did fine.
Yeah, no.
But it wasn't a challenge or anything. It was kind of cameo-ish. And it's one of those interesting... It heavily reminded me of Sorry to Bother You, in that it's the same heightened alternate reality...
Yeah, like kind of slightly near future, but...
And slightly dystopic yeah. But not entirely.
And kind of scary, because like some of it I could actually... I'd be like, yeah, we're dumb enough to do that.
Yeah, well, that was the same thing with Sorry to Bother You. I was like, this isn't how things are, but if they became this way in 5 years, I would not be super surprised. It had that kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
But in general, just kind of fun and a little more woo than I would like.
Won't take away years of your life.
Yeah, and pretty short run. And it's, I am fairly confident there will never be like a season two or anything. This is self-contained.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Like,
and you wouldn't need one. So like, this is one you can watch it and then move on with
your
life. So yeah, I think we both recommend it.
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah, it's hard to say anything about it because it is very weird. It is a very weird show.
So speaking of which, and this may be a terrible thing to bring up, but yesterday we were going through Netflix and looking at things that I wanted to watch to see if you also wanted to watch them.
And across the board, I did not.
Because I have terrible taste. No, but so we briefly discussed, I believe it's called You.
Yes.
And you said you don't want to see it.
Apparently it's very good and very popular.
Yeah.
But the limited information I have on it is very creepy, passive-aggressive, stalkery badness.
Okay. And so that's why you don't want
exactly.
to watch it.
Exactly. Yeah.
I just was curious about your reasons. Because, like, so some of the guys at work were talking about it, and there was... significant disagreement over whether it was a good show or a bad show. Nobody was like, oh, it's mediocre. Like,
and when you say the guys were talking about it, were these all guys?
This was when I had lunch with the new hires and the other recent graduates that we have as employees.
Yes, my question is, what
was
the gender
all,
demographic?
Sorry, it was all men.
That's
roughly
what I wanted to know.
two decades younger than I am.
Because one version I've heard to explain it is the nice guy philosophy turned into a TV show. And I don't think it's in a positive light, but it's still just shit I don't want to deal with.
Because that was the conversation was somewhat around... So one of the people that really was like, no, I don't think it's good, was like, I don't want to sympathize with people that I think are bad people, and I think he's a bad person. And the other guys were like, well, yeah, he is a bad person, but it's still an interesting show, and I like watching it. And so I'm really kind of, because, like, that's why I was pretty sure you wouldn't want to watch it, because that's not your kind of show.
It's the same thing, like, when I decided after an episode I did not want to watch Dexter. It was the same thing. I'm like, this is a legit serial killer, and it's making me sympathetic to him.
Right. You didn't want to watch Dexter. You've never watched Sopranos.
Yep.
Breaking Bad, I also put in that category, although that's a little more complicated.
I would agree. And Sopranos, actually, and Breaking Bad to a degree. But Sopranos, I just didn't care. I wasn't interested.
That's fine.
Breaking Bad, I thought I didn't care. And by the time I found out it was good, I found out it kind of was fucked up and didn't want to watch it.
Yeah. So, but sometimes I enjoy that kind of thing. And so I'm still kind of conflicted about whether I want to watch it or not.
And I don't know where it lies because there are definitely anti-hero things I can get behind. Constantine, for example. That guy's a shithead, but
even
it
Legion
for him.
Is kind of an anti-hero. Well,
yeah, I could speak to that a lot off the podcast because you're not going to watch anymore. But season 2 is very interesting.
I watched season 1 and then I bailed shortly early into season 2 because it was too much.
It's a good show, but you have to watch it hard enough that you get a nosebleed. Like,
and then half of it you have to throw away because
it turns out it was just flavor. But no, remind me to tell you stuff afterwards about that. But yeah, no, I don't want to go near that.
All right.
Should we talk about the Big D?
The Big D. Wow, that's right? Let's not call it that anymore.
Your mom wants the D.
Oh my God. Oh, so today.
I feel bad about
all
that.
All right, so my family. We spent a week with my family, and so they've kind of been making me crazy. And to start at the end of the whole saga, last Sunday, my parents flew out of Orlando into Chicago because apparently they're just idiots. I don't even know. Like, I can't explain that to y'all.
Why
people who have lived in the Midwest for my mother her entire life, except for like the 2 years she lived in Virginia, and for my dad, who's lived there now for 50 years, would choose voluntarily to fly into O'Hare in January is beyond me. But they did.
And right when all the freezing shit was happening.
Right. So they get to O'Hare, and the people are like, yeah, no, we can't. They live in Illinois. Okay. It's like a 4-hour drive from Chicago to where they live. But the plane is just like not going to happen that night. And there's no hotels because by the time they get to O'Hare, the situation has been bad for long enough that they've already given away all the hotel rooms that they have. And so they're like, well, we can put you on a bus to take you to the airport, but it's not going to come until tomorrow morning, so Monday morning. They're like, or we might be able to get flights out on Tuesday. So my mom's just like, screw this. And she rents a car and drives home.
Yeah.
Well, actually drives to the airport they were supposed to go to so she can get her actual car and was hoping to get her luggage, but it wasn't there. And then, you know, so she turns in the rental, gets her car, drives home. My parents still don't have their luggage. And my parents are in their 70s now, and they're starting to act like old people. And so it's just confusing to the rest of us. Because every day, they're, you know, one day it's like, oh, the luggage is in Chicago. And then it's like, oh, no, one suitcase is in Chicago, and they don't know where the other one is. And one day it's like, well, they're going to take it to Bloomington, which is where they were supposed to fly into. And then it's like, oh, no, they're going to take it to the airport in Peoria. And finally today, Mom, I'm like, none of this matters. None of this matters. They are going to bring you your suitcases to your house.
Yeah.
Or ship them to you. Period. That is what is. I don't care if they send them to Bloomington or to Peoria or freaking Timbuktu. They've had your suitcases for half a week now. They're going to bring them to your house.
And a lesson from this, people.
And they call. They call every day and talk to customer service people who frustrate them and make them angry. And then I have to get these weird texts. And I'm like, why are you even calling them? Like,
It'll get there when it gets there. I'm not telling.
Meanwhile,
there's nothing you can say in a call that's going to make it come faster.
Well, and meanwhile, they were supposed to have left for Virginia, which I don't think they would have done anyway because of the weather.
Absolutely insane.
But also, we were in Florida, so their summer clothes they packed for Florida, and now they need them for the beach.
Because it's still warmer there.
But they don't know where their suitcases are, and so mom can't wash them and repack them so that they can go to Virginia. And the whole thing is just stupid.
I like the idea that they get their suitcases and don't even open them and just take them to Virginia.
Well, mom said today, she's like, maybe I'll just have them ship them to me in Virginia. I'm like, you absolutely can do that.
Yeah. The lesson here, folks, the very important lesson here is...
Don't let your parents get old.
No. That'd be wonderful, but that's not possible. If you marry into a family that has an ongoing family group text, make a condition of the marriage that you do not get included in this group text.
Tony, I was going to say, we weren't the last ones to get married, but you were the last one to get a cell phone.
That is true.
And so my sister's husband had opted out of the family text like really fast.
Yeah, but he actually went in for a little bit.
And then
he went in. He thought it would be cool. And then I want to say it was like 2 days or something. And he was like,
really?
Out.
And then my sister-in-law was like, no.
Yeah.
No. Tony prides himself on being the favorite
child at this point.
And the favorite in-law. So he was like, when he got his cell phone, he's all like, oh yeah, I'm totally going to be part of the family text. Then he's like, oh my God, get me out of here. Seriously, people, I will go in, like sometimes because of my job, I'll have meetings from like 1 up until 5. So it's not like I'm talking about just like an hour, but I will come back to my phone and there will literally be like 30 or 40 texts. And it'll be my family talking about like the weather or some weird thing they found on the internet.
More accurately, part of your family talking about one thing and another part talking about something else and not realizing that whichever part is not talking about their thing isn't talking about their thing.
Oh my God, can we talk about moms yesterday?
All right. I mean, any member of your family might listen to this podcast, so.
So yesterday. Never mind. It's too complicated to explain all the slang.
I don't even remember what it was.
The olies.
Oh, the
So I was making ravioli, and I said, I'm making olie sauce, because that's what we say sometimes.
That's what her family calls tortellini. Don't ask.
And my mom texted back and said that that sounded good, and said that she had some in the freezer with olives in it. And I was like, well, I mean, that's weird.
Yeah, my dad sauce does not have olives.
And my dad doesn't like olives. I can imagine a recipe that calls for olives in a pasta sauce.
No,
but that
would be weird.
Not that my parents have in their freezer. And so I kind of wait a little bit to see if she'll say anything else, but she doesn't. So that I'm like, olives? And so she predictably
blames, are you putting olives in there or is it autocorrect?
Yeah, she blames autocorrect, which is what I thought it was. But so then she says, I would never put olives in my olive sauce. And we're all just like, okay, mom, you've officially lost
it now.
There's
a few things wrong with that there, but yeah. Yeah, so stay out of that. Although, weirdly, I overheard somebody at Disney talking about how a condition of him marrying into the family was that he did get to get included in their group chats. And I'm like,
yeah,
it's
he's
not
allowed
like
until they get married.
Yeah.
And your family doesn't have it because your family doesn't text.
My niece, Bucho, texts. Actually, and my nephews all text. And actually, my brother texts.
Yeah.
But my sister basically doesn't ever text. She texts from her tablet sometimes to her daughter, and my parents quite proudly don't text and never will.
And like don't even have their cell phone on all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes Alan and I text just because, like, I think because the rest of your family doesn't, you forget that you can text him.
Sometimes that's a thing.
And
yeah.
So like sometimes Alan and I text back and forth stuff.
And I gotta say, Trish and her youngest sister and I are in a group chat, and sometimes even that's too much for me every once in a while. Like when we're in a meeting, when we're both in the same meeting.
Because sometimes I like to troll him by texting him.
While we're both in the same meeting, and so the phone's on the desk buzzing, and I'm like, I'm very sorry, people. Anyway, we're like half over, so we should probably talk about Disney.
All right. What do you want to say about it?
How is Disney?
I think it was good. I think if we went again, which we're not doing next year, mm-mm. Tony kept telling me that.
That was my mantra.
Part of me wants to say that the trip was too long. I'm not sure that's true, but I think I would get a smaller park pass. I don't think I would go to the parks as many days as
okay.
I did.
What would you do on those days then? Well, just hang around the resort?
Maybe. Or maybe go shopping with the girls at
Disney Springs.
Yeah. Or something.
I could see that.
Like, it just got overwhelming. But when I think about it, I'm like, that's how long of a trip we usually take. And usually by the end, I'm ready to be done. But, like, I was just full on, like, ready to kill someone.
And it dipped pretty early for us. You and I both said 3 or 4 days in that we were kind of Disneyed out. And I think we recovered from that. I think that was an acute attack.
Yeah. Well, I think some of it was because we had just been the year before.
Yes.
So, like, there wasn't a lot of novelty to it.
Yes. And there were weird things. So we ended up, and nothing was late. This was what we scheduled in the first place. I don't know what's wrong with us. We landed in Orlando at, like, midnight.
Yeah.
And so by the time we got through all the airport stuff, got to the Magical Express, and then drove the, like, 45 minutes to an hour to the hotel, and we didn't even have to check in. We were already checked in. We had to hike to our room and get inside. We got to bed at like 2 a.m.
Yeah. No, that was the plan because I was trying to be conservative with our time off.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, yeah.
You have issues with that most of the time.
And no, so, I understand it, and I signed off on this plan. What I am saying is, having experienced it was a bad plan.
All right.
Because we ended up basically getting 5 hours of sleep. And consequently, we were a mess, and we basically ended up skipping half of our day to go home and sleep.
I'm still a little sad we didn't see the fireworks that night.
Yeah, no, I've heard it's
Hollywood.
Very cool.
I was going to say, people would tell me, they'd be like, oh, have you seen the Star Wars Spectacular? And I'm like, no!
So we still didn't see that, but we were exhausted. So yeah, we didn't even do dinner there or anything. But in general, well, and I started having troubles as the week went on. I slept worse and worse. I'm not sure what that was about.
Yeah. Well, and I think we did maybe so like when we were making plans, I didn't necessarily make plans. So the deal has been that my parents pay for the trip. Well, they pay for the hotel,
and the
food
and the park passes
and the park
and the
admission. So we pay for the plane.
And all the little tips and things.
And the souvenirs.
Yeah.
And the deal has always been that you have to come to family dinner.
Yes.
But other than that, you're not required to do anything with the family.
Although there was a weird new rule this year.
What was that?
When you're taking family pictures, you can't wear sunglasses.
Well, that's not a weird rule, actually.
It wasn't a weird rule once, sort of.
Okay.
By the fifth time.
Tony has issues with family pictures.
I do. My brother-in-law and I both agree with this. My brother-in-law and I both grew up in families where posed pictures were, A, not common, and B, when they were, it was very quickly, okay, everybody smushed together. Can we see everybody smile? Great. Like, Trish's family, it's a deal. Like, you have things.
Oh, my God.
There's seatings. There's...
You don't even know. When I was a kid... Okay, so, when I was a kid, this is how Christmas went. You get up. You look at your stocking stuff. Mom would make us all eat breakfast. And then we would go, and we would sit in the living room. And, you know, my dad. So, Jesus Christ.
So 3 hours later, he showed up.
Yeah, dad shows up. And then mom says, are you going to take pictures? And he'd be like, well, I guess I should. And he would go to the bedroom, and he would get his camera bag, which, again, it's my dad, so that's like a half hour.
Yeah.
And then he'd come out with the camera bag. And this is like a 35-millimeter camera from the era where everything was manual. And so he'd pull out the camera, and he'd pull out the lens, and he'd pull out the flash, and he'd put it all together, and he'd be messing around with it. And then he'd see if there was film in there, and if there wasn't film in there, he'd load film. And nobody could open.
I've experienced none of this, but I can picture this so clearly.
Right? None of us could open a single present until...
Your mouths are just watering, staring at the tree.
Yeah. Yeah, it was awful. Yeah. All right, anyway, so... All right, so we took family pictures and Tony hated it.
She's getting a lot. No, I liked them, and I'm glad we have them.
Literally, some of them came out really good.
The only issue was the no sunglasses, because frequently we were looking into the sun, and also one time it was last minute enough we couldn't even change glasses, so there's just pictures of me with no glasses, which is ridiculous. This is another thing, and I bring this up a lot. My parents, when it was school picture day, said, dress like you dress for school. We want a picture of how you look, not a picture of you specially dolled up or whatever. And I'm the same thing. I'm like, this is what we look like.
Just do it. But you just, so it is a little bit weird, though, because, like, I didn't even think about it, but there was at least one day where I was not wearing my sunglasses and you were. And so from all the pictures that day, it's just kind of odd because, like, you can't see your face or your eyes. Anyway, I think the other thing that we did wrong was where I was going is we didn't. So I didn't feel like I necessarily had to do stuff with the family, but with very few exceptions, I didn't consciously try to plan time just for you and I. And I think that I would have had more patience and more endurance for other things if we had been spending a little more quality time early on in the trip.
I could see that. I surprisingly had kind of a good time hanging out with family, especially when it was not the whole family.
Yeah.
We got, weirdly, some really good quality time with your dad, just the three of us, which I can now say in retrospect I was kind of dreading. I was a little annoyed that for my birthday, it was a great time, and we did it two nights in a row, and it was pretty cool.
We took him out to interesting restaurants, because a lot of the rest of my family are fairly conservative eaters.
And in our head, or at least in my head, your parents are.
Yeah.
And now we're kind of discovering maybe dad isn't so much. He just doesn't really have the opportunity.
Yeah. So we took him, although he did have corn dogs with
spices. He did have mini corn dogs with that mustard. He loved that mustard.
We went to an African buffet.
My favorite place there. That's what we could pick for my birthday was his African buffet.
And he did try a lot of different things. But he ended up
curry for the first time, and he loved that, too.
Yeah, but he ended up deciding it was a shrimp curry. I think it was more of a Thai-ish
curry. Yeah, it was like a coconut curry.
But he ended up, his favorite thing was the spicy mustard that they had to go with the pork, but he put it with mini corn dogs.
So he did it with mini corn dogs. And he's like, I think it's good on anything. And then we joked about putting the pineapple in it, and he ended up doing it.
Yeah.
Which was hilarious to me. He's like, the pineapple kind of overwhelms it. And we look, and he's just grinning. He's clearly fucking around. And I was like, dang. He's feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
So that was fun. Still love Epcot.
Yeah.
It's just the best people watching, combined with great food and great drink available.
Well, and the second day that we were at Epcot, we were so done. So, like, in the morning, we met the family, and we went
We did future world rides, Living with the Land Soar and all that.
And then we had a break for lunch, and so we took the boat across the lagoon to Morocco.
We went from Canada to Morocco for lunch.
In 5 minutes.
And then I took a little sidestep to go to Japan for a couple of snacks, and then we went back from Morocco to Canada in time to meet the rest of the family.
For another adventure. And then when we were finished, my baby sister, Steph, was like, oh, I kind of wanted to hang out with you.
And we were all going to have dinner together, but not in, like, 4 hours or something.
Right? And I was like, okay, well, the thing is, I'm just kind of, like, done. Like, I don't really want to walk around a whole bunch or anything. And she's like, well, she had a board game in her purse.
She had Splendor, this one we've been talking about before.
Like, she took all the pieces out and put them in baggies. And she's like, will you play a game with me? And I'm like, yeah, sure. So we go back to Morocco because I think it's just that people don't know what Morocco is. Like, all the different countries have kind of a plaza where you can hang out. And most of them, there's a lot of people there. But it does vary.
There are definitely countries that are more hangout countries than other. Because people don't hang out in China either.
Yeah, that's kind of true.
And I'm not sure why. And it may have to do with layout. But you're right. Morocco seems to not be a hangout country.
But there's lots of pretty good
Epcot,
seating there.
I feel like I should specify. I'm not saying anything about the country of Morocco. If you go there, just go there quick. No. But there's lots of good seating. There's lots of good shade.
Yeah. Yeah. So we go back. We take the boat back over to Morocco, and we basically just hung out there
for hours.
Just
playing Splendor, watching people.
Games,
I'd go get
drinking,
a snack every once in a while.
Yeah.
It was very nice. And I knew it because, like, this is near the very end of the trip, and I'm kind of Disneyed out. And there's one point where I'm like, I got to go pee. So I get up and I walk to the bathroom. And the whole time I'm going, I'm suddenly like, not the whole time I'm going to the bathroom, the whole time I'm walking to the bathroom, I'm like, oh shit, that's right, I'm in Disney World. Like, my brain had just sort of forgotten about that. I was just sitting somewhere playing games with my sister-in-law and my wife. And I was like, that's awesome. Like, for a little bit, I just forgot I was there. Because there's, some of it's the Disney-ness, some of it's the crowds, but there's a stress to being in Disney World. It's not a bad stress necessarily, but over time it weighs on me.
Also, and I heard the most amazing thing ever on our earlier excursion to Epcot, which was when we were sitting, so in Epcot, Japan, they have taiko drumming, which I love. And so we had been there watching taiko drumming, and then I had sat up close and he had sat someplace more comfortable, and I had gone back to kind of regroup with him, and we hear this woman, she's like walking, she has a stroller and she's walking, and she's yelling back over her shoulder at a fully grown man.
Yes.
And she's like, okay, we'll go to America so you can poop, and then we'll go to Italy to get me pizza,
and then we'll come back here.
And Tony and I are just like, what is happening?
Yeah. We're like, why can he only poop in America?
Right. Is this like some weird racist thing?
That's odd. They have bathrooms in Japan.
And they're all the same.
Like, although, by the way, just a little fun thing, and I don't know that we even discovered it last time, but I really, it is fun to hang out in Epcot and then talk about them as though they're actually the countries.
And then we went to Morocco for
lunch. Exactly, exactly. Right. And you can make general statements about the pavilion, and it sounds like you're being racist against that whole country. And...
yeah.
So that was fun. And yeah, I was turning it. I like, oh my God. So I got to go on roller coasters this time.
Yeah, you did.
And in fact, Trish even went on one with me.
Yeah.
Roller coaster-ish, I guess. I got to go on Big Thunder Mountain, which is fun, just like when I was a little kid. Way less scary than I remember it being there, but still fun. Then we went on the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, which is the big hotness nowadays.
Yeah. Tony was not fond of it.
For a couple of reasons. It's not a very good roller coaster. It's too much start and stop. It's a couple minutes of, or a couple seconds of roller coaster, and then a minute or two of hi-ho, hi-ho, and then a couple of seconds of roller coaster again.
I also thought it, for me, because I'm not big into roller coasters, maybe it was fine, but I told you, like, so we would go, we would start to drop, and you could feel the brakes come on.
Yes, so that it wouldn't go too fast.
Which to me, the scary part of roller coaster is feeling like you're free falling.
Yeah.
And if they're going to break it, then they broke it. Yeah. Which is not how I meant to say that, but...
yeah, yeah. No, it loses some of that. And I agree with you. But on top of that, they had individual safety bars.
Yeah.
And they were so narrow that I just squeezed my legs together really tight, and it was still like sort of bruising my sides.
Well, and the distance from the back of the seat that you're sitting in to the back of the seat in front of you is relatively short.
Yes.
So you were also mashing your knees.
So it was not fun for me that. And then I went on a third one at Animal Kingdom, Expedition Everest, which people were telling me was the scariest one. And I was prepared for that. I realized when I went on Big Thunder Mountain, which was the first of the three that I went on this trip, it had been like 10 years at least since I've been on a roller coaster. So that was kind of shocking.
Probably more than that, because I don't think you've been on one since we've been married.
Quite possible. I used to go on them a lot, but and it's not that I stopped liking them, or it just hadn't come up. So Expedition Everest is a big scary one, and you can see these huge drops when you approach it and hear lots of screaming. And the whole premise of it is that you're gonna see a Yeti. and this will be scary and it'll eat you and shit like that. So we start the roller coaster, and I should say up front, we ended up with an odd number of people because my father-in-law chickened out. So I'm seated next to a stranger who I learn is from Russia, and this is his first time to Disney. So that's fine. So we're and I said, this is my first time on this roller coaster too and all that. So we're going, and we get up, and it's a pretty big drop at the beginning, and they're swinging around, and it's pretty freaky. There's some pretty big drops and stuff. And then you go up this thing, and the track is out. Like, the track has been all twisted up and stuff. And I'm like, aha, what are we going to do? We're going to drop down something. But we're just sitting there. We're just sitting there. And in front of me is my nephew and my brother-in-law. And my nephew says, this is the backwards part. And I say, what? And my brother-in-law says, yeah, and in the dark. And I said, what? And then the train went backwards. And then it went in the dark. And then it did a whole bunch of shit that I'm not really sure what, because we were going backwards in the dark. And then you stop at one point, and there's this weird silhouette thing of a Yeti, like it's going to get you or whatever. That wasn't that scary. But then you zoom off again, and there are these, and it's super fast, and it does not break on its drops. And then you go through another part. You're going forward, but it's dark, and then there's kind of strobe light. And so you get just enough strobe that, like, I'm going to say 2 feet from my head is the slavering jaws of a Yeti that I just see in strobe for a second, and then we're off again. Holy shit, you can see the videos. Everybody's like, wee! And I'm like, oh my god! Yeah. Seriously, when we stop, my Russian friend, whose name I did not know, turns to me and says, are you okay?
There's a great... So, like, because it's 2019, they take a picture of the car.
And they know, based on the magic band, they know which one I am.
And they, you know... So, we have this picture, and, like, everybody else, including my nephew, who's, like, what?
11, I think, yeah.
And, like, are kind of, you know, they're screaming, but they're, like, smiling and laughing. Tony looks absolutely terrified. And this very nice Russian man looks like he's just going to pee himself laughing.
Yeah, yeah. He was having a really good time. Because I'm just making all sorts of noises because I love doing that too. Like, oh, my God, the whole way. And I laughed several times, but it was always that, like, crazy laugh. Like, oh, we're gonna die. And to my credit, actually, probably not, but also, at times, my 7-year-old niece was also scared, apparently.
Yeah.
Because she was clinging to, I think she was with Bethes, I don't remember, but whoever she was with. But at the end, she thought it was awesome. And to be fair, I thought it was awesome. I very much think it is a one ride per trip experience. I don't know who the lunatic is who's like, let's go do that again. Need time to process that. Also, you should tell people up front there's a part that's backwards in the dark. Not cool.
So,
but that was a hell of a
roller
coaster.
This is the thing that always surprises me about you. Because...
You thought I'd be cool with backwards in the dark?
No. But
I don't like spoilers.
Yeah, kind of... I mean, so you get anxious about things.
Yeah.
And the way that I usually deal with that is, like, by researching whatever it is. So, like, I tell people the story because I think it's hilarious. When Tony was unemployed and he first wanted to go work at ACT, they were like, oh, you need to take this test. And it's a test that we give. It's called Work Keys. And
you may have run into it in various places.
Yeah. And so he was like, you know, he's like, oh, I got to take this test, whatever. And so... And I know it because I already work at ACT. And before I left home the morning that he was going to take it, the last thing I said to him was, you better come back with a certificate or I'm kicking you out of the house.
And now, let's just all sit on that for a second. After over a year of unemployment, going for the test that I need to get a job I'm applying for, my wife said that to me. Just let that sit, because I feel like my reaction in general, not that weird.
But also, so, my husband has a bachelor's degree from Grinnell College.
I do.
There is no planet on which he sits this test
I got a perfect score.
But
I didn't know that was going to happen.
Well, and this is
And I also didn't know that the bar to get the lowest level of certification... is pretty low.
It is.
There are 3 levels of certification, yeah. And the lowest one
is not I don't want to say it's easy. I mean, you have to be able to read and write competently, but it's...
But the one I got is hard, and I'm very proud of this because I've learned over the years. And in fact, we're modifying the test now because there's one of the three tests you have to take is very tricky. And a lot of people missed one point on that, and so they didn't get the perfect, and I did.
But to go back to my original point, in my mind, there wasn't anything mean about saying that to you, because if I had had to take that test... Like, there's practice versions online. Like, I would have looked up about the test, and I would have known, had some idea of the difficulty of it. But you just walked into the thing completely blind.
Yeah.
And, like, kind of the same thing. Like, when we were talking about different roller coasters and whether I would like them or not, Steph was like, well, you know, you can watch videos on YouTube. And I was like, oh, yeah. And I didn't end up doing it, but I totally could see myself doing that. But poor you go to Everest not knowing that it goes backwards.
I think what it is anxious about and worried about or scared are different things for me.
Okay.
And the stuff you talk about, generally, at least I feel, I could be wrong, won't relieve my anxiety. So, like, in the case of that test, and in the case of this roller coaster, I wasn't really scared something bad was going to happen. And I wouldn't have not gone on it if people had said, I mean, seriously, my 7-year-old niece was going on it and everybody was fine with this. I'm like, okay, I can do it. And if we go back to Disney World, I'm going to go on it again. It's all pretty right. fun.
I'm still not going with you.
Okay. And the test, the same thing. Like, I wasn't really worried I was going to be bad. I consider myself pretty competent at the basic skills that are involved. I never study for things. I certainly never study for tests. And it never is effective for me when I do, and I'm a great test taker. And so I could have learned all that stuff, and then I would have learned that you were way less mean. But I don't think I would have been any less anxious about the test.
All right. I feel like we've displayed a just incredible amount of privilege in this particular episode of that.
Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast.
Like, I'm kind of embarrassed about how white and upper middle class we are right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, dude, we usually are just two dudes. Like, it's so much worse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no.
We should talk about feminism this time.
We don't have time. You gotta pull something out of the hat or we're screwed.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right. I was gonna have Twiglet pick something out of the hat, but...
But then you remember he doesn't have thumbs?
No, he left. I was gonna,
He woke up. He's coming.
Hold him for him and see which one he liked.
All right. Make it something simple to answer because we don't have a lot of time.
Okay, Twiglet.
What the? Oh, jeez.
Which one do you like?
She's literally fanning out cards face down and having him pick one by sniffing it.
All right.
Twiglet picked this card.
Oh, my God.
Put the others back.
All right.
She's looking like the card just had a very realistic and unattractive penis drawn on it.
It's from Azure Talon.
So that might actually be the case.
Ghosts of Hat Past.
Not a thing. All right.
And the G is in parentheses, so it's like ghosts and hosts at the same
time. I see. How clever.
If Lucy Lawless stars in an anti-smoking PSA, would she be emphysema?
Azure Talon, you coming to GamaCon? Because we'll be there. Don't make eye contact. Are you guys all coming? Usually you do, so I assume we'll see you there. So
this
that's
isn't
like
even
month.
A question that deserves an answer.
No, none of his questions are. but he's one of our most loyal listeners, so
we love you, Azure Talon.
We do. We will stab you in the throat if we see you in person, but we love you.
All right.
Something like that.
Do we have to answer?
Yeah, no, like, first of all, I mean, okay. We're going to take it as read. This question is dumb and nonsensical.
Okay, what Set is that aside. Lucy Lawless doing these days? I haven't seen her in a while.
She's in shit. The last time I saw her was she was the woman who eventually married Ron Swanson on Parks and Rec.
I think I saw her as like a lawyer.
She shows up places, but I think she's doing pretty well these days, so she doesn't really have to, but she's still working. No, because if she was emphysema, then she would be presumably in a pro-smoking PSA.
Well, maybe she's emphasizing quitting. I don't know.
She'd have to, like, the villain? Like,
I don't know. I, like, the pun is falling apart the more I think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's not good.
But we could tell it to my dad. He might like it.
I think it's more fun if you come up with something involving Lucy Lawless being, like, irrationally afraid of things, and it's a xenophobia.
Oh.
Yeah, I feel like that's more solid.
Yeah, but can you do that without being racist? I mean, do you have
to... Well, I mean, by definition.
Right.
Oh, my God. So is it like, if Lucy Lawless is scared of foreign people,
is she
xenophobic?
If she's scared to poop in Japan, if she can only poop in America.
Well, that'd be weird because she's Australian. So that must have been a rough upbringing. I love this country. The first time I came here, I just shat out 23 years worth of poop that I've been holding in.
This is a poop-heavy episode.
It is a poop-heavy episode in more ways than one.
It just occurred to me, though, that we haven't come up with a perfect title yet, so I feel like it should just be If Lucy Lawless Can't Poop Anywhere But America.
It's a little long.
It is. Does that mean she's xenophobic?
I was gonna go with
people,
the Disney debrief, but now I feel like familial dirty laundry might be better.
Did you know condors are vultures?
Yeah, we found this out. Neither of us knew this. A condor is just a big kind of vulture.
It like literally there's vultures and then in it is condors.
Yes, it's a subset of vultures. They tend to be the huge ones. We saw there's a show at Animal Kingdom that's a bird show, and I think it's been around forever. They have now incorporated Russell and Doug the dog from Up into it.
Yeah.
Russell and Doug are heading on an adventure, and they run into the people who do the bird show, and they learn shit about birds. But a bunch of birds come out in the process. And so we saw this really cool owl that I'd never seen that kind of owl before. And a bald eagle.
Hope the bald eagle.
And a bunch of other birds I didn't know from before. And then condor. It was not a California condor. It was...
It must be Andean, because there's only two kinds, is what I learned today.
Huh. And it had 10-foot wingspan. It was really... But when you see it, it's very clearly a vulture.
You're like, it's a vulture.
He said it was a vulture also, but like, you're like, well, yeah, that's a vulture. Like, it has the crooked neck thing and all that jazz.
And the bald head.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, totally, and I recently had started following someone on Instagram that volunteers at a condor rehabilitation center, and so, like, she had posted a picture of a condor, and I was like, but that looks like a vulture. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, today, I love Googling stupid shit. I'm like, are condors vultures? And it's just like, yeah, wow. Dumbass.
That was how I uploaded the photos you asked me to. I finally just typed into Google, how do you upload Android photos to Google Drive? And it's like, well. And it was once they gave me the explanation, I was like, oh, yeah. That's not that weird. No, but you freaked me out today because you're like, I just learned. How am I just now learning that condors are vultures? And I'm like, I don't know, because I didn't know either until last week when they told us, and you were sitting next to me, so I don't know why it only sank in now.
It's just weird to me, because, like, I remember when it was, like, a thing. California condors were endangered, and, like, we talked about California condors.
Running joke on The Simpsons about eating California condor egg omelets.
Right. Yeah. And I think I told you that, like, I knew they were raptors. But, like, I think it's a PR thing. Nobody was ever like, oh, they're vultures.
Well, and I think the few times I ever saw images of them, they were in flight.
Yeah,
and
maybe that's part of it.
Vultures don't look super vultury until they're not in flight, and then you're like, ugh. Trish loves vultures.
I love vultures. I want to be a vulture in my next life.
So many jokes right there, but we don't have time.
I think vultures are very important, and I don't think they get a lot of love.
Absolutely. They get to wear top hats and be evil.
I helped out vultures in Virginia one time.
And you almost helped them out by feeding them camp children.
Another time.
I'm pretty sure I've told that story on here. But we're out of time anyway. So, next week...
Maybe William will be
here. William should be here, and we should be doing a two-parter because the week after that's Valentine's, and he has Valentine's
plans. Ooh, smushy.
Exactly. Smushy, smushy Valentine's plans.
Now I want to smooch you.
You can, after we finish recording.
See, he won't let me smooch him on the podcast.
It might have something to do with how far away we are from each other, but no, I'm just embarrassed.
I think you don't want smooching
noises. I don't want people
noises.
To know I smooch my wife.
Mwah!
Those were fake.
I bet they wouldn't have known if you hadn't told them.
Those were the cats. In the meantime, why don't you write the hat? TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Give us some more content.
Disney tips.
Disney tips. Tell us what things you recently learned were vultures. And we will talk to you next week or, you know, whenever.
Meanwhile, like us on Snapchat.
We don't have
that. You also don't like things on Snapchat, I don't think. Wait, WhatsApp, that's the new thing. That's what the kids do now.
That's new? Even I've been using that for a couple of years.
Okay, well, but that's what the kids do, is WhatsApp.
They don't do Snap anymore?
I think they do Snapchat too, but...
Kylie Jenner said it was over and then she had to pay. I don't know. We're old. We're just a caveman. We were frozen. Your social media confuses us.
Don't play Fortnite, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Jesus, don't play Fortnite.
And don't watch... What's his face on
PewDiePie.
YouTube?
Don't watch any YouTubers. All right. Well, bye.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.